right, so once you have your Bible, go to 13, continuing our study through the book of Ezekiel. Last week, if you were here, we went through chapter 12, and we saw God, through Ezekiel, start to kind of call the Jewish nation out on they having this wrong thinking that somehow they weren't going to have. Basically, they were believing these false prophets that were telling them that Babylon was going to be defeated, that they were going to be brought up, and somehow they could just keep on sinning and they wouldn't face repercussions for it. And so he's kind of calling them out, saying, you guys are wrong. You know, everything God's saying through me is actually going to happen. It's going to happen really soon. And in chapter 13, we're going to see God specifically address the source of these lies that they were believing. Basically, these false prophets and prophets. That's how you say that, right? These people that were falsely speaking in the name of God. And this is a chapter that kind of should make you kind of somber or like just a little bird when you're sharing it with other people and stuff. I know it does for me because God gives a pretty hard word against those that are misrepresenting to him, that people know him and represent him correctly so they don't lead his people astray. And so he is addressing those that were speaking incorrectly on his behalf. So let me go ahead and start here, and we will down. It says in chapter 13, verse 1, the word of Ezekiel talking, son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel who are prophesying, and say to those who prophesy, hear the word of the Lord. That's exactly what these false prophets needed to be doing, and they weren't doing. They were not hearing from them. Says the Lord God, or thus says the Lord God, woe to the foolish prophets who follow their own spirit and have seen this message to give to these God's name, who were being led by their own spirit instead of the Holy Spirit, he says, have seen nothing. So basically they had no direction, they had no word from the Lord, but they were saying, hey, we have a word from the Lord, just like Jeremiah back in Babylon, or back in Jerusalem. And Ezekiel here in Babylon, except the major difference was they weren't speaking on his behalf. He wasn't telling them anything. They were just kind of speaking his heart or based off of we know can be a dangerous thing, our feelings, all right? If you aren't familiar, Proverbs tells us, or Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? Proverbs 16:20. Way. This seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. Basically, what that means is you can't trust your feelings. There's a way that seems right, but time and time again in your life, you probably heard it said before in this world, hey, just follow your heart. Do what your heart tells you to do. That's not biblical. God's word actually tells you to do the exact opposite. Don't follow your heart. Don't trust your heart. That's why we needed Jesus to come into our lives to first change our heart. The Holy Spirit came into us and regenerated us, which later on in Ezekiel 36, God talks about that. What would happen when Jesus came and people received him into their lives? He says, and I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. See, our hearts are a big problem before Jesus comes into our life. He has to come and soften them up. He has to change them. And then because we still are living in our flesh until we're with Jesus again, he has to guide our hearts because they're always susceptible to being tempted by our flesh. And the first way he does that is by teaching us God's word, helping us understand it in our lives and how to apply it in our lives. As feelings that contradict what God's word says, here's the news. Your feelings are wrong. They're no good, all right? If you don't feel God's word, if it contradicts that, your feelings, you can toss them, all right? Because God's word always stands to be truth. We need this guidance, and we need the Holy Spirit to help us understand and receive it. And that's why God's given us his word, and he's given us his Holy Spirit to do that. Now, second, we need his Holy Spirit to practically give us, like, direction and guide us in this life, to make our paths straight, as the Bible says. Because in any given practical situation, do I do this? Do I do that? Do I marry this person? Do I take this? Acceptable to our feelings. like doing this. Well, here's the thing. Our feelings are deceitful. So instead of just feeling and basing your decisions off of that, you have the God of the universe that knows all for you to tap into and say, God, I know I feel, but is this feeling right? Should I do this? Shouldn't I do that? And when you come to him with that surrendered, submitted heart, he says he'll lead you. He'll guide you. He'll give you that wisdom. So you wait upon him to do that. Greatest thing in the world. Because before he came into our lives, we were lost. After he came, the God that fought everything down that perfect path he has for each of us. Amen?
Amen.
And he goes on in verse 4. And he says, your prophets have been like jackals among ruins. Israel. So if you know anything about jackals, kind of some of your translations might say foxes, they're scavenger. They basically live to satisfy themselves and please themselves. They don't really look or care about other things or other people. And so these false prophets, they're basically doing the same thing. This was a crisis situation going on, and so they're taking advantage of the people's fears, and they're playing off those fears by telling them what they wanted to hear so they'd be admired. So they'd be exalted, and they could kind of reap the benefits of that platform of being looked up to by these people. And you better believe, I've seen this happen, like in God's church, like when there's a crisis situation, the jackals just come right in. And we started going through a transition years ago. There were all sorts of weird people, you guys might not know, worship did, these people that were showing up trying to draw people to themselves, and it was like, get out of here if, like, that's your heart, all right? We're only pointing people to Jesus. We're not looking for people to draw people themselves. So, you see, and it says in verse 5, you have not or built up a wall for the house of Israel that it might stand in battle in the day of the Lord. So, he's talking to these false prophets, and he's addressing them, and he's saying where the true prophets of Jeremiah and Ezekiel, they were a wall, if you will, that had protected the Jewish nation for hundreds of years by laying a strong foundation of God's word and trying to get the people. But these false prophets amounted to just a pretty facade. Like, it was basically this crumbling wall that was like kind of whitewashed to make it look real pretty with their lies, but it had no real stability. It wouldn't last when the storm came. It would prove to be just a weak wall that would collapse. And it's the same problem being taught, right? I believe that, you know, people like to point out, oh, the church is declining, the church is declining. Well, here's the thing. The church today is full of a lot of false prophets, all right? And the thing is, when you're being trained up to believe what's not true, stuff that's not true, it doesn't last. It proves itself to be false eventually. And so if that's what you're being taught to believe, and it doesn't pan out, then your faith is based on lies. And it's not based on the truth of God's word. It's not based on Jesus, which is the test of time. And so when things get tough and it doesn't work out the way that you were taught up to believe, then you fade away because you're really not based, you're not being brought up to believe on a strong foundation. That's why we preach forth God's word. Because this is the one thing that will always prove to be true, that will always be that strong foundation that will never fail you. So we need to focus on this more than anything else in this world. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So it says in verse 6, they have seen false visions and lying divinations, basically like fortune telling for the future. They say, declares the Lord, the Lord has not sent them, and yet they expect him to fulfill their word. Have you not seen a false vision and uttered a lying divination whenever you have said, declares the Lord, although I have not spoken, therefore, thus says the Lord, in seeing lying visions, therefore, behold, I'm against you, declares the Lord, but I'm not for lying on my behalf. My hand will be against the false visions and divinations. They shall not be in the council of my people, nor be enrolled in the register of the house of Israel, nor shall they enter the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord God. So God here, he gives a pretty harsh word. He says how he's going to specifically judge these false prophets who were speaking falsely in his name. In verse 9, he says that they're going to be excluded or removed from his people, or in essence, what's going to happen is the people are going to see their babble for what it is, just a bunch of lies, because lies always expose themselves. As the he's speaking through his two prophets happens and the stuff that the false prophets are saying doesn't happen, it's going to expose them. And in doing so, they're going to be seen for what they are in front of the people, liars. And they're going to lose their place looking to them anymore and giving them money or, you know, like raising them up. They're going to be like, oh, they're liars, and they're just going to be shunned upon. And on top of that, he says he's going to revoke their citizenship, basically, as God's people. Like, basically how he would do that is the false prophets back in Jerusalem would either die when Babylon attacked them, or the ones that had brought to Babylon in exile, they'd be left there. They wouldn't be allowed to come back to their land because God was not going to stand by while people, instead of pushing them towards him, were in his name leading them away from him. These guys were part of the problem of the people not repenting, and he's like, well, fine. If you're not going to repent yourselves and you're going to get away from me, then I'm going to pull the people away from you, or I'm going to take you out of the equation, basically. And they had their chance to repent too, but they were refusing to do it. They cared more about themselves and their own selfish game. And again, to the Lord to speak on his behalf, and something that in like all of us, you know, as far as being representatives of Jesus Christ, we should take that into consideration. You know, when we're sharing Jesus with other people, when we're telling people God's word, because, you know, he takes it very seriously, as we're seeing in this chapter right here. And what's going on right here is something that we're going to look at this verse later, but Paul warns us that in the last days, there's going to be people that like tickle people's ears, like basically say what they want to say or say what they want to hear. And that's going to attract people. They're going to leave from true teaching to false teaching, and they're going to flock around these people. And you better believe that's one of the reasons, like the thing that's going to happen in the end times right before the rapture, because what the rapture is going to do is much like what God's saying here, is he's going to pull his people out of this earth and leave those false teachers behind to be revealed for what they are. Like he was basically going to do here in Babylon. So it says, precisely because they have misled my peace, when there is no peace, or basically saying everything's going to be all right when it's not. Because when the people build a wall, these prophets smear it with whitewash. Say to those who smear it with whitewash that it shall fall. There will be a deluge of rain in you, O great hailstones will fall, and a stormy wind break out. And when the wall falls, will it not be said to you, where is the coating with which you smeared it? There, God, I will make a stormy wind break out in my wrath, a deluge of rain in my anger, and great hailstones in wrath to make a full end. And I will break down the wall that you have smeared with whitewash and bring it to end. Falls, you shall perish in the midst of it, and you shall know that I am the Lord. On the wall, and upon those who have smeared it with whitewash, and I will say to you, the wall is no more, nor those who smeared it. Verse 16. And saw visions of peace for her when there was no peace, declares the Lord God. So again, these false prophets, their message, it looked real great on the outside, like a pretty whitewashed wall. But it had no strength to stand up, as it wasn't the truth, and that would be revealed when God's judgment in the form of Babylon came, because those lies would be revealed for what they were. Just like a crumbling wall that had been plastered, or like, for instance, you guys that have driven out here for years, that pothole out there on the street, all right? That's kind of the same thing, really, that ODOT just kept paving over it. And that didn't fix the problem because there was no strong foundation under it. So it just kept sinking every time it rained. They tried this new fix. Pretty on the top, but that didn't fix the problem underneath. And when the rain and the storm happened, that thing just sunk. And that's what he's saying here. He's saying, hey, the storm in the form of Babylon is coming, and it's going to reveal these whitewashed walls, these lies, for what they are. And it was the Lord that was going to bring that storm. Now, part of the problem here is that the people weren't inspecting this weak wall of lies when they should have. They shouldn't just been taking these what the prophets are saying, their word for it. When I used to work for ODOT, there was this one contractor, notorious for doing the bare minimum of job, all right? And where they were building what's called a spread footing, that basically a big bridge piece of steel, knows what I'm talking about, probably. They had anchor bolts in this footing, all right? And these anchor bolts are these rods that stick out the like base of the steel footing, and it's got to sit on them perfect, like they're oriented a perfect way. And those anchor bolts, they're cast way down deep into the footing, and has all this reinforcing steel that some smart engineer comes up with, so that it all ties together, so that basically this heavy weight is going to hold this bridge in place. So, unbeknownst to us, ODOT, unbeknownst to ODOT, what the contractor did was they had cast these anchor bolts in the wrong spot. So when they tried to set the steel on top, it didn't fit. So what they tried to do on a weekend when there were no inspectors out there, they cut those anchor bolts off. And then they drilled some new holes, tried to epoxy some new anchor bolts in. So those new anchor bolts didn't have the structural capacity of the ones that were actually, you know, cast all the way down into the spread footing. They were kind of, they looked good on the outside, but on the inside they had no strength. Not somebody from ODOT been driving by for the out there working when they shouldn't have and said, that's kind of weird, and basically stopped by and said, what are you guys doing? And actually took the time to, well, let's do a test on these things, because this is just kind of weird. And when they did that strength test on those anchor bolts, failed way before they should have, that trying to cover up their lies, their mistake, basically. But see, they chose to inspect it, and that's what revealed that it wasn't truth, or it wasn't, they weren't being truthful. In much the same way, we don't take people when they're telling us. We believe it because we know it, not because we're told it. And Jesus talks about that when regarding false prophets in this section in Matthew 7. It's a pretty long one, so I'm going to read it. It's verses 15 through 27. He says, beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. You can identify, that's the key, that is by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? A good tree produces fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down, thrown into the fire. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. All right, so that's one way he says that you can identify false prophets. Actions speak louder than words. They can say all they want, but look at how their life, Jesus, and the way they live it, you know, in their actions. He goes on to say in verse 21 of Matthew 7, not everyone who calls on me, out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom. Only those who do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. Again, their actions. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's law. And that's an interesting section too, because what it's telling wonders aren't enough to verify that somebody's truly speaking on behalf of God, that there'll be people misrepresenting him that do that. Verse 24 goes on to say, same section, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents, floodwaters rise, and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come, and the winds beat against the house, it'll collapse with a mighty crash. Again, talking about how, like, God's word, the truth, that stands up against the storms, you know, because it never changes. It always proves itself to be true. But that stuff that's taught that's false, that it always proves itself to hold up. It doesn't stand up. You know, and again, you know, in all three of those sections, he's saying actions speak louder than words. Like, don't just believe what's being said, like test it, like look at the fruit in people's lives, see if they're actually living according to prove to you whether they're speaking truth or not. Then inspect what's being told to us. Familiar with Acts 17:11, it says that they listened eagerly to Paul's message, but then it says They searched the scriptures day after day to see if Paul and Silas were teaching the truth. So they eagerly accepted the word of God, but then they went and verified it themselves. I don't want you to take my word for it. I don't want you to take Pastor Michael's word for it. This is why we encourage everyone, get out a Bible and read along with us. Don't just like listen to what I'm saying, because I want you to know for yourself, this is what God's word says. Not because you've seen that for yourself. Amen? And it says, verse 17, "And you, son of man, set your face against the daughter of your people, who out of their own heart, against them, and say, thus says the Lord God, woe to the women who sew magic bands upon all wrists and make veils for the heads of the in the hunt for souls. Hunt down souls belonging to my people and keep your own souls alive. You have people for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread, putting to death souls, the innocent people astray, and keeping alive souls who should live, or and letting them think what they were doing was all right. By your lying to my people who listen to lies, not only there's also false prophetesses." I think that's how you say it. Prophetesses. I was like looking it up and I'm like, this doesn't sound right to me. All right. And starting in verse 17, God's directing his message. So these 17 scripture, that God not only speaks his word through men, women, through this gift of prophecy. Miriam the prophetess, Aaron's sister in Exodus 15 is a good example. Deborah the prophetess and judge of Israel in Judges 4. I'm not going to look these up, but just Philip the evangelist in Acts 21, all prophetesses that were speaking forth the word of God. But these prophetesses are speaking on his behalf. They're basically, again, as it says in verse 17, speaking from their hearts. They're speaking from their feelings. In fact, they're more like sorceresses because verse 18 says they were practicing magic, which we know from Deuteronomy. And they probably learned it while they were in Babylon. And they didn't have the best interest of God's people in mind. Like the false prophets, they're trying to play off people's fears in this crisis situation for their own personal gain. And God calls them out, verse 19, for basically misleading people for what amounted to barley and some bread. Like, again, they're just concerned with themselves and trying to make a living or whatever. And just not even taking, disregarding the fact that they're telling people all these lies and saying God's the one doing it. And as verse 19 says, sadly, the people were listening to their lies. And he goes on to say in verse 20, "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against your magic bands with which you hunt the souls like birds. And I will tear them from your arms, and I will let the souls whom you hunt go free. The souls like birds. Also, I will tear off and deliver my people out of your hand, and they shall be no more in your hand as pray, and you shall know that I am the Lord." So these false prophetesses were selling like magic charms, kind of like rabbit's feet, like they're supposed to be lucky, like they would keep away harm for people or like keep away the bad things from happening to them. And religious ceremonies, which again wasn't helping people or God's people at all, but it was more of like he compares it to like capturing them in their web of lies, like a bird being captured. But God says, I'm not going to let this keep going on. I'm not going to let you mislead my people. I'm going to expose your lies for what they really are. And people are going to, when they see that your guys' lies, that's just trust in what I'm saying, which is, in verse 22, he says, "Because you have disheartened the righteous falsely, although I am," or basically, again, he's saying there that their lies were discouraging those God's word that were listening to Ezekiel, that was listening to Jeremiah. He's saying, you're making these people that are actually righteous, that are actually following me, question whether they should be listening to the truth. And he's like, so you're going to be punished for that. And you have encouraged the wicked that he should not turn from his evil way to save his life. So for the people that are in sin, keep doing what you're doing. It'll all be right. You're encouraging them to continue to go away from me. And he's saying, that's not okay. Verse 23, he says, "Therefore, because of that, You shall no more see false visions nor practice divination. I will deliver my people out of your hand, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So basically, I'm going to put an end to this, and all your lies not coming true, and all of my truth actually coming true, like when I'm speaking through Ezekiel, you're going to see that, you know, I am the Lord. Like he keeps using that phrase, I am the Lord. It's going to be evident that I am the Lord. You're going to even see it yourself. So, just to kind of finish up, way early, but it's okay. Prophets, all right? We have to be careful not to lead people astray based off of our feelings. And I'm pretty sure none of you guys would want to do that. Willing, like God's word says. But here's something I can struggle with that maybe you can relate to. I can have this tendency in my flesh to want to tell people what they want to hear in an attempt to console them or make them feel better, or maybe because I want to be liked by them because I'm fearful that if I tell them what they need to hear, it won't be received. And what I call that is the fear of man syndrome. Because if you're anything like me, I like to be liked by people. I don't want to upset people. So there can be this tendency in my flesh, like, oh, you know, this is what this person really needs to hear, but I don't think I want to tell them that. You know, and it's this battle in me, you know, like knowing that this or receive this. And you got to fight against that, because here's the thing. We need to remember, whether it's received well or not, it never changes the fact that truth is what people need to hear more than anything else. Two, it's the truth that sets us free. What does it set us free from? It sets us free from the path of destruction. It sets us free from believing the lie. Truth amounts to only good things for you. That's why God tells us the truth. That's why he's given us the truth. We're actually going to look at that more, because one of the reasons Jesus came was to bear witness to the truth, to give us the truth, to understand. Without him, you know, like the truth is basically like, and you see it all in the world, the truth to one person's the truth is not the truth to somebody else, but you get to decide based off your feelings what the truth is, and that just leads to a bunch of disorder in the world, and that's what you see out there. But there is one truth, and Jesus is the one that's established that truth, and it's in God's word. And that's always the best thing we could ever tell anyone, whether they receive it well or not. Now, yes, we want to do it in love. We don't want to just say, oh, you need the truth, and like hammer someone with it. But if we're coming from the right place of compassion and love, we should be able to give it to them in love. But we don't ever shade from giving them the truth. That's one of the reasons God's given us for our benefit and for others. And Ward Wiersbe had this great quote about this. He says, a true prophet tells people what they need to hear, but a false prophet tells them what they want to hear. All right? We don't want to be false prophets. We want to be true prophets, true mouthpieces for God, true representatives of God, knowing that God loves them and only wants the best for them. So we give the truth in love. All right? Grace and truth. That's where Jesus came in. That's what we do. Now, on the flip side, we need to be careful not to allow ourselves to be led astray by people saying what we want to hear. All right? And that applies not just to, like, brothers and sisters in Christ, but to pastors, to books we read by Christian authors, to podcasts. Because let me remind you, popularity is not a good indicator of truth if you know your Bible, all right? Because by and far, the people that spoke truth in God's word, in history for all that matter, weren't very popular, okay? They were actually the ones that were persecuted more than anyone else, in some cases killed, with Jesus, all right? And in Paul, all right? They spoke the truth, and they got beaten and arrested and persecuted for it, okay? So when you see all these people flocking to people, that's almost like an indicator, like, okay, I better listen carefully to what this person's saying, all right? And again, this is stuff we've been warned about in 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 5. Paul says, I urge you in the presence of God in Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he comes to set up his kingdom, the word of God. Be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. This is the Timothy, a young teacher. He says, for a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. The idea is like when you itch your ear, it feels good. It's like they're going to actually stray from what's truth because it's hard to receive and follow, and go to those that are preaching falseness because it's easy to hear. It makes them feel good. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given you. And I love that. I like that because people are going to kind of flock to the people that tell them what they want to hear. He says, don't be afraid of suffering. Like knowing that if you preach truth, you're probably going to get persecuted for it. But work at telling others the good news. It doesn't matter whether they receive it or not. It's still the good news. It's the best news they could ever hear. It's truth, and the truth will set them free, all right? I believe it, man. I see that happening out in the world today, even to an even greater degree. I have people like come to me and be like, oh, do you listen to sermon by this guy? And I'll listen to the sermon, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. He didn't even open his Bible. He just gave me his opinion the whole time. And a lot of that was not based on biblical principles, you know? But, like, they're just quick to receive it because it sounds good. It's like it makes you feel good. But, again, you go back to your heart's deceitful. You can't just trust what makes you feel good. That's why we need God's word to help us understand what is good and what's not good. And that's why it's so important that you know it yourself. Because if you just base off your knowledge of God of what other people are telling you, you're never going to be ready to inspect and examine yourself and be able to discern whether what you're hearing, what you're reading is actually good. I tell people this a lot when they're reading like Christian books. It's like you chew the meat and you spit out the bones, all right? You could read stuff and you might not agree with it all, but you don't let what you're reading dictate what you believe about God's word. You let God's word dictate what you're believing. Same with when you're listening to a sermon. You don't let what being told to you dictate what you believe about God's word. You know God's word and let that dictate what you're hearing as to what you chew on and what you spit out. All right? Amen. So, if you know something isn't biblical that's being taught, so it's bad counsel. All right? And that's, again, why it's important for you to know God's word for yourself. But second, here's the other thing, just from a practical standpoint. Don't be real quick to believe some people when they come to you and they say, I think this is the Lord's will for your life. Or, I got a word from the Lord for you, all right? Anyone ever have that happen to you? It's happened to me a lot. I'll come after a sermon and say, I got a word from the Lord for you. And I don't just discredit it. It's like maybe the Lord really is speaking to them. But here's the thing, what I've noticed in Scripture. Usually the Lord only speaks to people through other people when that person, for some reason or another, is not submitted or surrendered to their will or not listening to what they have to say. God wants to speak to you first and foremost. Get that, all right? And so the only reason he's going to speak to you through someone else is most likely because you're not listening to what he has to say. Happens with my wife to me a lot, all right? But having said that, when you get that word from somebody, and I'm really hesitant when I'm counseling people, I don't like to use that terminology. If there's a principle from God's word that I can share with them that I think is applicable, I go straight to that and repeat verbatim, this is what God's word says. I think this applies in your situation. But if it's like, oh, should I marry this person or not? It's like, I don't know. So let's talk to the Holy Spirit. I try to point them to Jesus because that's between them and God. But having said that, comes you. What I like to do is like, oh, that's interesting. Okay. And then I bring it. I mean, if what they're telling me is a word from the Lord is blatantly against Scripture, it ain't a word from the Lord. That's somebody else talking to them, and I don't want to listen to that. If it is from the Lord, I should be able to bring it to the Lord, and he should be able to confirm that to me, because he wants to speak to me. He wants that personal relationship with me, first and foremost. So you should be able to just go to the Lord. Lord, is this from you? Is this a word for me? And let him confirm it to you in some way or another. And you might have to wait. But always go to him. Don't just take what's being told to you like these guys were guilty of, and it led them down this path, again, of facing way harder consequences than they ever were supposed to face if they just would have listened to God, what God was telling him all along. Amen? All right. So, having said that, I'm going to have the worship team come back up. And we're just going to spend these last few remaining moments, like, with God, worshiping Him, but also just, I think it's good to come before Him and go, like, Lord, if I've ever misrepresented You, I'm sorry. And, like, you know, like, correct me, because I don't want to do that. You know, I don't think any of us want that heart. And then the other thing is, if we've been misled by people, you know, to believe things that we know, like, man, I don't think that's right. Or, God, help me if I'm believing, if I believe something that is incorrect, like I've seen it in my life not play out the way I think it should, you know, and maybe that's because I'm believing something that isn't real. Like, can You show that to me? Because I want to stand on the truth of Your word. I don't want to believe in lies, you know, that are just going to constantly disappoint me and believe me. So let's go ahead and spend this last time while the worship team come up here, and we'll just pray. We'll have some people around the room to pray with. If you guys need prayer for anything else, we'd love to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank You again so much for just this opportunity, Lord, to come here tonight, to open up Your word, to be reminded of the importance of knowing Your word for ourselves first and foremost, Lord. We want to be lovers of Your word. We want to, like Jesus says, like man doesn't live on bread alone, but by every word that comes up from the mouth of God, we want to feed on this, Lord. Just knowing that, like, where we need food for our physical nourishment to survive daily, we need Your word to spiritually survive and thrive. And so, Lord, we want to look to You to feed us, first and foremost, instead of looking for other people to feed us, so that we can determine whether what they're trying to feed us is good for us or not, Lord. And we have You we have the Holy Spirit. You've given us the Holy Spirit in our lives to help us understand Your word, to help us discern whether what's being said is right or not based off of what we know in it. And we need You to help us with that, Lord. And we also want to represent You correctly always, Lord. Help us do that. Help us never mislead people. If there's something we're believing that's wrong or we're misunderstanding, we look to You to help us understand and correct that bad thinking, Lord. And we're sorry if we have misled people. We don't want to do that purposely ever. So, Lord, be with Your people right now and just meet us in this time. We're so thankful we have Your Spirit to guide and lead us, to help us understand Your truth. And we're so thankful for Your truth, Lord. It is the only thing that has proven to be consistent in our lives. It never. In Jesus' name.